Welcome to Mobile Estate Planning with your host, Michael Bailey. Over a decade ago, attorney Michael Bailey turned his attention to estate law after he recognized the unacceptable number of adults without proper end-of-life planning. Michael recognizes that many of his clients have difficulty finding the time for making a proper estate plan. That's why he became the Mobile Estate Planner. He will go to wherever you are to assist you with your estate planning, including writing wills, trusts, and giving you the information you need to avoid probate. Now, ATX, Ask the Experts, presents Mobile Estate Planning with your host, Michael Bailey.
All right, good afternoon. Welcome to Mobile Estate Planning with Michael Bailey, so we can do something besides leave your family just alone. So that's my standard joke, so it works out great. You know, I've been using standard joke for like 2 years. Probably people who listen on a regular basis are like, seriously, Mike, come up with a new joke. But I have two guests in studio today who, they heard it for the first time. Well, okay, maybe one of them didn't. He's listened to my show before. But glad to be here. Glad to be able to talk about estate planning with you. Phone number to talk to us on the air is 303-477-5600. And you are listening to Mobile Estate Planning on 560 KLZ, The Source, also heard on 100.7 FM, 95.3 FM, 1220 AM, online at 560thesource.com, and the TuneIn app. I think I got all of them. Did I, Charlie? Oh, I'm getting a head nod from behind the glass. So got one. It's good. See, it's always exciting. I try to remember these things, but it doesn't always work. So today we have with us in studio Dr. Lotta Granholm. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Absolutely.
Sweet. I got one. We also have Jim Brown here. Jim, you don't get a doctor in front of your name, do you?
No, not today.
Not today? Dr. Granholm is a real doctor. I'm a fake doctor. What kind of a doctor are you?
Oh, I'm just a doctor of experience.
Okay, so he's a non-doctor. You know, we'll take it that way. You know, see, I'm at least fake. You know, my degree is a JD for Juris Doctorate, but it's not really. You know, there's a doctorate of law that you could earn. So Dr. Granholm is part of the Noble Institute for Healthy Aging at University of Denver. What in the heck is that? Tell me.
So it's a brand new institute that we founded. It's actually been founded a few years. And about a year ago, we moved into our new building. And we're actually in the engineering building, which is a new building on campus. And our job is to start interdisciplinary research groups in different areas that relate directly to aging. I can mention a couple. For example, we're working on a concussion project and brain injury project. Mm-hmm. We're working on financial security and aging, which I know is of interest to you.
Right. That's kind of what we do, is we worry about people who are aging and their financial security and their legal security and all that type of stuff. That's what we do at my law firm. You know. Okay. So how do the engineers feel about interdisciplinary people being in their building? As far as I know, engineers tend to, you know, so my dad's an engineer. I have engineer friends. They don't like to do much besides be engineers and be focused on anything. Do they kind of ignore you as they walk by or how does that work?
Absolutely not. They are the most fantastic partners that you could ever imagine.
Cool.
So my background was in medical schools.
Okay.
And so in a medical school, an interdisciplinary research group would be a nurse working with a physician.
Mm-hmm.
Here, it's truly, we're working with several of the groups in our building, the engineering building.
Well, that's good.
There's, for example, a robot in the robotics lab that his name is Ryan. And he has been developed by Dr. Mohammed Mohor, who is one of our engineers.
Okay.
And Ryan is placed into homes for people who have early dementia and has already shown some fantastic promise.
What does Ryan do? What's his function?
So Ryan is a torso with arms and can be the face of your loved one.
Okay.
And he's just now trying to launch Ryan 2.0. Ryan, for example, can help you take your medications.
Okay.
Ryan is part of an artificial intelligence program. So Ryan learns what your face looks like when you're upset, sad.
Right.
Maybe we should play a good song now. Ryan will upload your best songs.
Right.
Pictures from your grandkids. Ryan can call your daughter or son or spouse when something isn't right.
Oh, that's a neat thing.
So Ryan is actually developing more and more into a fantastic tool. It's not just an Alexa.
Right.
Ryan will do exercises with you. Let's move our arms and play our favorite song, and let's cheer up and not be sad, you know. And
So you're describing Ryan, and I'm thinking of the animated movie Big Hero 6. Did you ever see that movie?
I did not, but I've seen WALL-E, for example.
Okay. So in Big Hero 6, there's an older brother, and he develops a personal health care assistant called Baymax. And, you know, the Baymax will come online and scan you for your health things and try to help your assist you with your health. And, yes, it's kind of science fiction. You know, it's even an animated cartoon. But, you know, it's a fun cartoon. And, you know, I'm just thinking that Ryan sounds like Baymax, except for in real life, which is better than in science fiction.
Oh, it's absolutely fantastic. We really think that the robotics, and we work very closely with the people in robotics.
Right.
They're working on other issues like deep brain stimulation for Parkinson's disease. We work closely with the Human Dynamics Lab, where we can test if people have, after a stroke, if they're human, if their balance is altered and those kind of things.
Right. Well, then it sounds like that would be a very useful thing. I know one of the things that my clients run into, especially those who are aging or older and, you know, starting with Alzheimer's dementia, there's a lot of concern about, you know, being able to, a lot of them want to stay at home. A lot of them don't want to go to live at, you know, they think they're going to go live at the proverbial nursing home, which is apparently, you know, whenever you say nursing home, there's supposed to be sound effects. They're like, dun, 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 it's where you go to die. Well, okay, so maybe it's not that, but you know, that's what the term nursing homes kind of connotes is, oh, hey, well, yeah, we're going to put you in the home. There you were going to send you, yeah, grandpa, we're going to send you off to die and we're done and bye. You know, that's not what we want to do. So if we have the ability to use robotics where you have somebody there who can give the reminders, and then if something does go wrong, you know, it's, I'm thinking of the old Life Alert commercial where the lady's laying there, I help, I've fallen and I can't get up. Yeah. So we've got Orion who's like, you know, they have not responded for a while. So I don't know what's wrong, but somebody ought to come check on them.
So Ryan will do that.
So yeah,
Ryan
will then call. That's a great thing.
Yeah, Ryan will actually can be able to look at the whole living arrangement where you live, and Ryan can report falls and can report even sort of medical information.
Right, and so I can see how that would be a very useful, helpful thing for, you know, caregivers and caregiving companies to have that ability to, as a technology develops, you know, obviously it's in its infancy. If it's 2.0, you know, there might have been 1.01, 1.02, et cetera. But, you know, if we got everything right the first time, why would we continue to improve, right?
Yeah. So another thing we're working on, you mentioned aging in place. We are working on a long-term plan, our pie in the sky, if you will, is to actually have intergenerational housing.
Okay.
And on campus. So I just met a couple of weeks ago with the architects working on the new DU campus. And in the plans there will be intergenerational living.
Oh, wow.
And I think, you know, we have ample opportunity to actually work with hospitality students, for example, and show them that a da-da-da nursing home may not be so bad.
I got her doing the sound effect.
Did it.
Yes. Jim, do you want to even give it a try or no?
Sure. So I agree. Aging at home is the goal. People want to stay at home and be safe and secure and I think all these resources that we're talking about is a good solution for people to learn about and find out.
Cool. But we needed you to say nursing home with a sound effect. Dun,
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 dun, dun, dun.
There you go.
But so we think that the future living arrangement, for example, if you're a freshman and many, many of the DU students come in maybe from other countries and from other parts, they don't really know Denver. They don't know where they're going.
Right.
And so having intergenerational living facility is absolutely fantastic idea because the students get helped to come into a society, to understand DU, just to navigate the campus. And then the older people get help with, you know, grocery shopping or those kind of things.
Yeah. I've seen videos on like Facebook where people have put a like a preschool inside of the adult facility, and they kind of help each other. And I was just thinking of, you said, you know, getting around Denver. So I grew up in Fort Collins, as did my wife. And, you know, I came down here and went to DU for law school. And when we got married, probably the first or second weekend, I was sitting at home on Saturday doing homework, because that's what you do in law school is homework. It works out great. And I got a call from my wife. I'm like, hi, honey, what's going on? She's like, I don't know where I am. Okay. I don't know how to get home. All right. So I'm like, well, what street are you on? Quebec. All right. What's a cross street? I don't know. Okay. Tell me what a cross street is. And I helped her find Quebec and Iliff so that Iliff could then become Evans and bring her back home, because we lived literally right across the street from the law school there at University in Evans. We live right on Josephine Street. But, you know, it's one of those things where it's like this is a it's a whole brand new adventure, you know, when you get on campus. But also aging is a whole brand new adventure. You know, we think of it's a slow progress to get there. But then suddenly you look backwards and you're like, how in the world, you know, for me, I look back and I'm like, how in the world am I turning 40 next week or next year? Like April, I'm going to turn 40. I'm like, no. I just barely got out of high school or college. I'm still young and cool. Well, I was never young and cool, but I was young. Cool is totally debatable. I'm certainly not. But so it's just a whole new adventure and a whole new set of things to work with. So you're listening to Mobile Estate Planning with Michael Bailey here on 560 KLZ, The Source. Phone number to talk to us in studio is 303-477-5600. And my direct line is 720-394-6887. If you'd like to talk about your own personal situation or if you want to follow up on anything we're talking about today, please feel free to call either of those numbers. So you talk about interdisciplinary approaches, and then you said something about financial security. Tell me more about that program. What's going on there, and what are you working on?
So it's a very exciting new program that we started actually about a year ago.
Okay.
You know, I've been working with dementia research for about 30 years, so, but I have always come at it from the medical mm-hmm. approach.
Right.
And so you're thinking, you're only getting the patients into your office when they have Alzheimer's, already have dementia.
Right.
And so our thoughts were we should start looking at signs and symptoms that happen so early that maybe you're able to do something about it. Okay. At the very least, you should be able to plan your family, you know, do your financial planning. You should right. be able to think about where do you want things to go and so on.
Right.
And so we started reading in the literature, and it actually turned out that it is that financial lack of financial planning ability is one of the earliest signs of dementia.
Okay.
And so then we started engaging. We actually have a group working on this now, and it consists of interesting interdisciplinary students that are doing their MBA plus pre-med, for example. And Eric Chess is the director of the program. He's both a JD and an MD. And so he's actually a double doctor.
No, he's a real doctor and a fake doctor all at the same time.
I'll tell him you said that.
Yeah. And you can tell him it's just because the JD is technically a doctorate, but also not. there's a doctorate. You can get a master's of law. You can get a doctorate of law. If I wanted to go to school for another 6 years, I could also be a doctor of law. I don't really want to.
No, I hear you.
And I have a brother-in-law who's a doctor. He's an interventional radiologist. So it's my wife's younger brother. And I'm like, yeah, you're a real doctor. I'm not. And he was telling me about his first week of residency. They lost a patient. I'm like, really? What happened? He's like, well, the guy came in. He'd been stabbed 27 times in the chest, and we couldn't save him. I'm like, that's not really losing a patient. And that's where I began to truly – I mean, you know, I always figured that my job was okay. But I'm like, yeah, if you screw up in your job, people die. If I screw up in my job, people lose a little bit of money. You know, mine's a little bit less intense than
– But on the other hand, yours actually will – affect people for decades.
Well, sure.
So if you have someone and if you have a client and that person shows some diminished capability of planning, mm-hmm. what we're trying to do in this program is actually find out tools that financial advisors could use
right.
and that might be applicable also in the medical clinic
right.
such that now, you know, physicians or neurologists, specialists will actually start testing people's ability to make financial decisions.
Right.
As part of a dementia test. And we would like to also make it something that everyone has to go through at a certain age, colonoscopy, 60, you know, 65 uh-huh. maybe is your baseline cognitive assessment.
Right. So, I mean, you're talking about baseline cognitive assessment. You know, I follow the NFL. I follow college football. You know, I'm a big Broncos fan, despite their struggles this year. You know, as a big Broncos fan, knowing that this is a lost year, I think they should lose the rest of their games to get a higher draft pick. But, you know, I'll still watch them, even if they do lose.
Me too. Every game.
That's right.
Every game.
Yeah, I grew up in Fort Collins, so, you know, I've been a fan for forever. I got to watch, you know, the Elway years and all that type of stuff. But you talk about baselines, you know, so I imagine with the concussion study, you're kind of, you know, I mean, I know that, you know, so I also referee high school basketball. So the players need to take a baseline, you know, here's your cognitive function before we start getting into, you may clock your head against each other in football or, you know, take a charge and hit the floor. I did that once. That was a good time.
Lacrosse is actually the worst.
Is lacrosse the worst?
Yeah, because, I never thought so.
Well, you know, it's a violent sport.
Yep.
And my junior high football coach used to tell me that basketball is a contact sport. Football is a collision sport. Mm-hmm. Don't confuse the two. If you want to play a non-contact sport, take up golf or tennis or something
swimming.
Like that. Swimming. Yeah, even swimming.
It can be, yeah.
Yeah, because swimming, you get into water polo, and that can be fairly, you know, I've seen some of the injuries from there.
That's true.
There's blood in the water. Hopefully there's no sharks, right? But tell me more about the concussion study. And, you know, just what are you working on from the concussion standpoint? Because we, you know, as fans, we're like, oh, okay, you know, you had a concussion baseline and it's diminished and now he looks like he's okay. Unless you end up having, you know, 5-10 concussions and it's like, yeah, maybe it's time for you to retire. So tell me more about what you're doing.
It's a very cool project because it engages everyone across campus. Okay. And so the athletic department is involved, the people there, the trainers and the coaches. Mm-hmm. Everyone is on board, realizing that this is important. Mm-hmm. So we really only have three major high-impact sports at DU, which is hockey, lacrosse, and soccer.
Right. And we all know how good the DU's hockey team is, reigning national champions.
So those boys were so amazing to us. Mm-hmm. Last year, they won the national championships. The week after, they're sitting in our lab waiting to have their blood samples drawn.
Nice.
Not so tough then, maybe, but...
Oh, no, they're still that tough.
Yeah.
It's just a different context.
Yes.
And needles have the ability to make anybody be not tough.
That's true.
In my opinion.
You know, and I think it's they're being tough also because they're agreeing to participate in our study. So what we're doing there, it's unique interdisciplinary work. I think it's very few places that are doing this. Mm-hmm. The athletic department works with us, all the coaches and trainers. Department of Psychology or Graduate School of Psychology works with us in terms of cognitive measurements. Mm-hmm. We're trying to come up with better cognitive assessments. And then the engineering, the human dynamics lab, will look at the most common standard for NCAA is simply looking at static balance. They stand on one leg and see if they can do it. Mm-hmm. Now we have a much more refined type of testing in the human dynamics lab, so it's dynamic balance.
Some of us have trouble standing on one leg just because we don't have a good set of balance no matter what. You know,
I know.
I'm not too bad.
I know.
You know, my poor wife, after she had three kids, we've been working on putting her body back together into working order because three kids will, you know, take a major toll on any woman's body.
It's a lot, yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's not something that I would experience personally since I have had no children myself. I've helped my wife go through three.
Yeah.
So that's interesting that, you know, coming up with new and different ways. And
so that what we're doing, and then our lab is working on the biomarkers to find mm-hmm. if there are blood biomarkers. So the ultimate goal of this is not only to provide better assessments for return to play, but also to look at their long-term health.
Right.
And so we have such amazing alumni team. You know, we're in contact with the 1991 lacrosse team.
Right.
Who would all come into the lab and participate, you know, mm-hmm. dinner and a blood draw maybe.
Right.
So that's what we're hoping. Well, so we think that we could be able to look at every decade.
So if you reverse the order and you do a blood draw and then dinner, they'll feel better afterwards instead of, you know, falling asleep during the blood draw.
That is true.
Yeah. Well, and clearly, you know, long-term things, I mean, you know, you see all the advertisements of, you know, there's, you know, this many 100,000 NCAA athletes and there's mm-hmm. a few hundred pro athletes, you know, and they're doing something else besides just going on to pro careers. And mm-hmm. even within pro careers, you know, you could pay the league minimum of $250,000. Mm-hmm. It's pretty good living. But if you play for the average NFL career is like 2.32 years. It's like, well, hey, you made $500,000. Congratulations. Is that enough to live on the rest of your life? Probably not.
Clearly not. Yeah.
So maybe we need to worry about the future of your long-term health. So, you know, you working on that is quite awesome and quite remarkable.
And there are in this state, there are a couple of companies that are working on imaging and they're mm-hmm. working on sort of working out and sort of healthy guidelines for older athletes. And so our hope is that we'll actually combine our efforts with those companies so that we can also look at long-term imaging the brain and mm-hmm. see what's actually going on and what are the lifestyle choices that you should take on.
Right. Well, that's really neat. So you are listening to Mobile Estate Planning with Michael Bailey here on 560 KLZ, The Source. Also heard on 100.7 FM, 95.3 FM, 1220 AM, 560thesource.com, and the TuneIn app. Phone number to talk to us on the air is 303-477-5600, and my direct line is 720-394-6887. So, question becomes this. You know, all of this thing is really cool, really useful research, really awesome stuff that you're doing. How do you connect the research and the academic part of what you're doing, not just to the University of Denver, but to the community at large?
So we've started doing that, and we have some major organizations that we work very closely with. For example, I serve on the board for Alzheimer's Association.
Okay.
I have a meeting tomorrow morning. And we did a walk, a DU walk team, you know, for the Alzheimer walk, the annual right. Alzheimer walk. And we have worked really closely, actually, with Claremont Park, which is the Christian living right. communities. Uh-huh. And, you know, one thing that we've done to really connect people and to get more students interested is Roddy McInnes, who is a professor in photography, has done a project now called Life Walks, and we published a book mm-hmm. where he takes DU students. He took them to Claremont Park. He's going to take them other places. And they work with – so one student works with one older adult, and they tell each other their life stories. Mm-hmm. So we think that the stories to tell are really worthwhile publishing. Mm-hmm. And they talk about photography, and they talk about what this particular photo means, and they talk about, you know, their history.
Yeah.
And to be able to get that history out there. And we found that we did a similar project actually with Alzheimer Association uh-huh. in terms of artwork.
Okay.
They have a program called Memories in the Making. Mm-hmm. And so we brought our DU students out and meet and actually do art projects one-on-one with
That's
people
really...
with dementia. It was so fantastic. And, you know, people said to me when I took this job that you can't get the DU students interested. The millennials shouldn't be interested in aging. And we see the contrary, in fact. The students have now formed an intergenerational club. Mm-hmm. And they keep saying, when are we going out in the community? When are we doing the next photo, the next art project? And it also means that, you know, one of our biggest majors is pre-med. Mm-hmm. And getting these students who will be our future physicians
right.
to start thinking already, you know, I can do this. This is exciting. This is interesting.
Right. I want to give them to have a little bit of a connection with a patient or something.
Once they do that, they realize, wow, this right. was a really cool person. This
right.
person, she's 93 and she has two PhDs.
Right.
You know, for them to see that is really mind-blowing.
Right. Well, and it's, I mean, you know, think of the movie Patch Adams and, you know, connecting with the patients and like, oh, I'm a doctor. I'm apparently, you know, cold and, you know, I could be as... you know, disconnect from everything is my science project that I'm doing. I met with a client yesterday down in Colorado Springs, and they have a family attorney. I'm like, so your family attorney, is he, and the wife says, arrogant. I said, well, I was going to go with aware of what we're doing, but I don't know, is he arrogant? You know, I maintain that I went to law school with a whole bunch of people who think they know everything, and they really bug those of us who do. Mm-hmm. And people who understand and get that joke that I'm not really saying I know everything think it's funny. Other people don't. You know, whatever. I don't care. but it's amazing how when you connect with an individual, whether you do that, you know, I mean, I try to do that in my law practice is, you know, I connect with my clients. You know, we talk about, you know, their, you know, I'm, you know, hey, how are, you know, what are your kids like if we're going to leave assets to their kids? They're like, oh, do you have kids? I'm like, yeah, I have an 11, 8, and a 5-year-old. Like, oh, yeah, I remember those years because, you know, many of my clients who are in their 70s and 80s, their kids are my age or older. And so you kind of find that connection and you find that, and it's, even if it's just, you know, not that I'm trying to do it to be like, oh, maybe they'll like me so they hire me. But, you know, you work with people you like, but also with, you know, the person who has the Alzheimer's, you know. Not that it's a true treatise on Alzheimer's, but the movie The Notebook, where the husband is reading the wife the story and it brings her back to reality. Well, you can tell me more about that. You got much more of a medical background, but I don't think that's quite how it works. But maybe it does. But you reach that connection, even if it's not the connection with the person who's aging or older. Maybe it's not connecting their entire life together, but now you've got a connection with the person that you're sitting across from. And that, I think, has benefits in and of itself, unless I'm completely and totally wrong. You can tell me.
Yeah, so we did an experiment with this in Charleston, where I was before at the medical university, because the medical school went through accreditation.
Uh-huh.
And every 7 years, every medical school or, you know, most universities have to do this. Mm-hmm. And so not surprisingly, it came up that the medical students don't know anything about aging, gerontology, or nutrition or rehab. Mm-hmm. And they came to me as the director for the Center on Aging there, and I said, you have to fix this, but you can't add any more lectures.
Awesome.
Oh, thanks. You know, we thought about it for a while, and we started what we call the senior mentor program. Mm-hmm. And so the moment somebody enters medical school, they're assigned a senior mentor, and we call them senior mentors because they are mentoring the student of what it's like to be older. And they graduate together. And in the beginning, it was so much mumbling about, oh, I have a grandmother. I don't need to do this.
Right.
And in the end, it turned out they became best friends.
Right.
So it was a fantastic program. By just introducing them to each other,
right.
All we had to do.
Right. And, you know, like I said, aging, you know, it's a new adventure. It's a new process. You know, my father-in-law has two phobias. And I don't, you know, I use the word phobia. It's probably not diagnosable medical, but it might as well be. One is getting old, and the other we won't mention on air. But you know, he is deathly afraid of getting old. He's like, oh, I don't want to get old. I mean, his father had a heart attack and just, you know, was dead before he hit the ground, type of thing. My father-in-law is older than his dad was, but he's still scared to death that he's going to get old and have to, you know, be in a wheelchair and not be dignified and things like this. And I'm like, it's a whole new adventure. It just comes up gradually instead of suddenly. And I think the more that we can help people prepare for getting older and, you know, plan ahead on that, you know, estate planning, I'm all about planning ahead. You guys, you know, early indicators on dementia, so we can plan ahead. Because, you know, there still may be frightening things that happen, but as we plan ahead, these better outcomes. Am I correct on that or completely wrong?
I think our whole society is a Peter Pan society.
Right.
And it's time that we start wake up and face the fact baby boomers are here.
Right.
We're going to make the best of it.
Mm-hmm. It's true. We don't want to grow up. We may be Toys R Us kids. And there's a million billion things that we can play with. See, not Peter Pan, but Toys R Us. I believe that was their jingle at one point. So anyhow, thank you so much for coming, Dr. Granholm. Thanks for being here, Jim, as well. Thanks for listening to Mobile Estate Planning with Michael Bailey, 560KLZ, The Source. I will talk to you next week. And John Rush and Russ DeRuijzen are up next. Thanks, and have a great day. Bye.
Mobile Estate Planning with Michael Bailey will return to ATX next Wednesday at 2:30 here on KLZ 560, The Source, AM 560. FM 100.7 and online at 560thesource.com.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.